angry, always so angry, just so lost with life. No matter what I did, I could never succeed. Never, I'd take 40 step, or let's say like 20 steps forward and 40 steps back, and then maybe 10 steps forward and then 50 steps back. You know, I ended up coming to Vancouver through a bender, right? I didn't even know how I showed up here. I was living in a car, and I couldn't even, I was sleeping outside of a job site, and I couldn't even make it to work on time. Like, it was a mess, just a mess, right? I ended up going to treatment and learned a bit about the program, and but I still didn't have a clue, right? I got sober for a bit, relapsed, and I'm out for a while. I go through another set of steps, get sober. I'm miserable sober, right? I just don't even have a clue what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what the problem was, right? I didn't have a clue. It was a mess. And I stayed sober for maybe 5 months or something, 6 months, I don't know, but ended up going back out again. And that was just worst case of my life. I was like, again, 20 steps forward, 50 steps back, just keep going, right? It's just a mess. I'm getting older, but I can't grow internally, right? I just can't grow. And you know what, I came to a point, I knew I had to get sober again. I always knew that this stuff works, but I'm just always, I don't know what it is, just full of fear or something. I just don't think I'm gonna get it, or mm-hmm. something like that, right? And I reached out to somebody, started going through some set of steps with him, and I was struggling like crazy. I was about a month and a half sober. I was working on a step four for like a month. I was going to work, working 10-hour shifts, going to meetings every day because I'm so scared of relapsing, and I'm making the step four like this big, and I'm doing it on the bus and at lunch. And then I go to this meeting out in North Van there, and I hear this guy share, and I'm just like, this guy's crazy, right? Like, this is awesome. And I asked him for his number, and I remember here I am working on my step four, and all of a sudden, I'm just seeking ease and comfort. I'm just every day, okay, go back a bit. I go to work, right? And I'd always cause harm, and I'd be like, I'd lose it on somebody and then try to make amends, and I'm not even through a set of steps. I don't understand anything, right? And I gave this guy a call, and he's like, I do the steps in 12 hours or something. And I was like, that's nuts. But I was like, well, let's do it, basically, right? And he's like, yeah, we can do it right now, in the middle of a set of whatever. You can choose what you want to do after. And immediately, I'm in it, right? The next day, wake up at like 5 in the morning, start the steps the way that he told me to start doing it, right? 1, 2, and 3, explain the spiritual melody, call him. He's hiking on a mountain, and while he's taking me through the steps, I can hear him screaming at people and everything. And it's so funny. I'm just like, this guy's awesome, right? But, so I finish that, and then immediately start my step four, immediately, right? Don't even wait. Mm-hmm. And I remember we end up meeting up at the end of the week doing the 5, and I end up finishing the set of steps. And this guy taught me, the main problem, of course, is my thinking. I've got that spiritual malady that leaves me restless, irritable, discontent, the unmanageability of life, right? That's my internal unmanageability. When I'm always angry and acting out on defects, that's what's going to manifest me being restless, irritable, discontent, which in turn brings me into the obsession, right? And then I go back in that hopeless loop again and again and again, and it's just a mess. So I got to live in God's will. I got to live with love, like Johnny Love saying, like the guy's name is Johnny Love, right? Like, we have to love. It's all about love. We love ourselves. We love other people. First, we got to learn how to love ourselves, because I didn't even know that I absolutely hated myself. I hated myself, and I don't even know where I'd be today if it wasn't for this guy. I talk to him every day. I love him so much. He's the most important person in my life, right? I'm on house arrest. If I was on house arrest without even meeting this guy, I'd be done right now. I'd be in jail for sure. But in turn, like, I have an amazing life today. Like, I love my life so much. I get to help a lot of people. I remember I was talking to him. I was working with 3 people in a week. He's like, now you know what my life's like. I was like, oh, right? Like, but it's such a crazy life to live, and I would not be here if it wasn't for Ron.
Oh, thanks.
The stuff I get to learn. I learn things from this guy every day. Every day we talk about something. And it's not just solutions through through the program, he teaches me solutions with life, like what to say, you know, even you know, thinking doesn't change my actions, actions change my thinking, what to say in an argument, you know, relationship stuff, everything, absolutely everything. And it's straight to the point. We're not beating around the bush. I talked to this guy and beating around the bush. He's like, Bob, you're beating around the bush right now. Like, what's going on, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, all I can say is this guy, you're the most important person in my life. And and I love you so much.
Thanks.
I don't know where I'd be today. But it, just in turn, you know, we get to help others. We get to love. We get to help others. And we get to have such an amazing life. The slightest thing I get, of course, I get to stay sober, but I get to be happy and live an amazing life today. All right, so thank you so much, Ron. Come get your cake.
Oh, right on. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. Right on. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Oh, my goodness. I'm Ron, and I'm an alcoholic. Oh, just so heartfelt, some of the stories. And I read Ashley's message today and I just broke down and cried because, you know, and a lot of people, because, you know, I just wanted to be a part of today. And, you know, I've always wanted to be a part of, and I was never a part of. So if you feel like you're one of the biggest losers in life, I know how you feel, because you know what? I felt that all the time, you know, so I did come here 30 years ago and, I drank, I puked, I was a lot like Dave. You know, his story, it was just perfect. Losing tooth or hitting a few people to lose a few teeth. And, you know, it was just hell every single day. You know, alcohol will kill you. You know, and it was killing me. You know, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I'm a longshoreman, a Vancouver longshoreman. I started when I was 14. So I drank for... I drank for 11 straight years, and I'm not one of these kind of, you know, tipsy-toesy kind of guys. I'm a guy who's all out and, you know, all day, all out, you know, that's all there is to it. So I was drinking at work, and I was driving big cranes at work, and I was puking, and I was fighting, and life was hell. It was absolute hell. Just imagine just waking up. I don't know if you remember, but just remember what it was like to wake up to another day of hell, you know? And I help people. I help people. So I hear this all the time, you know? And I just heard somebody just recently who just went out, and I get it all the time, you know? And, you know, it just breaks my heart. But I know whose fault it is. I know whose fault it is. It's really not your fault. It's my fault. Because it's my responsibility is to give you a message of love and a message of the 12 steps today. So I don't blame you. You might be blaming yourself, but I don't blame you. I blame people like me, you know, that, you know, there's a message that we can give today, you know, and I can't do the work for you, and I can't, but I can sure give you the message from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and help try to save your life. So, you know, I was drinking and I couldn't stop. I couldn't control it. Definitely an alcoholic. And I was 24 years old and I was just dying as a dying could get. And I wanted help. And I just couldn't stop regardless of what was ever said to me. I just couldn't stop. So I asked my union for help and I got some help. And the very first words that were ever said to me was, "Can you quit for one day?" And I thought, well, that's a stupid question. And of course I can quit for one day. But I said, like, where is it going to get me? He says, oh, don't worry about it. And he ended up being my sponsor at the time or whatever. But he says, don't worry about it. He says, just quit for one day. And that's all I wanted in the world. You know how people have goals and dreams? That's my goal. That's my dream, is to have one day. Just give me one day clean and sober. That's it. And I said, yeah, I can do that, but where is it going to get me? This is where it gets you, people. You know, it can get you one day at a time. It can get you to achieve 30 years. So I was 24, I was dying. He got me help. He sent me to this amazing place in my head. I thought it was going to be a country club. I asked him, do they have tennis courts and everything else? But it was Vancouver Detox he was taking me to. And I was thinking, I asked him, do they have tennis courts? And, you know, so no tennis courts. I hated it there. I did. I really hated Detox. I really did. He actually had special privileges to take people actually out of Detox at any time. He actually took me out of Detox after a couple of days because I said, I'm leaving. That's all there is to it. These people are nuts. I don't like them. I don't belong here. I hate Detox. So he actually came to pick me up. And I went to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous at the Vancouver Recovery Club at 8:30 that night. And I can remember sitting at the very back, and you know what I heard was hope. You know, to give an alcoholic hope is to give them the world. You guys gave me hope. You know, you guys gave me love from that very first time. I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous that very first day. And not only did I love that meeting, we hung around for the 11 o'clock meeting. And I'm going back to Detox now on top of life at midnight. You know, from 11 to 12 was the 11 o'clock meeting. So I go back to Detox at 12:30. I'm a new person, right? I'm back at deep. Now I'm just driving them crazy there. I'm like, oh, I love this. You guys should hear something about like this AA stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, you guys gave me this. You know, I didn't get this. You gave it to me. You freely gave me this. But when I was here, you know, and I started getting a little bit of time, and that person who did help me, his name was Damon, and he was my first sponsor, and I loved him for 12 straight years until he passed away, and then I had Milton for probably about 8 years, and I have my sponsor, Jorge, now, who lives in Mexico, and I've been just truly blessed to have, like, you know, examples of love. Like, you can't even imagine, you know, if you knew these people, and I know Linda does, and I know a few other people do, you know, they remember my sponsors, and, you know, I'm just so blessed. So I got here, and, you know, I didn't know how this all worked. I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous, but how do you fall in, you know, I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous, but I was crazy. I was right nuts. So just like Ashley, like I was just right nuts. And I'm not saying you were, Ashley. I'm just saying I was. So if anybody's like crazy, well, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. But I didn't like that. I didn't like being crazy. I didn't really like hurting people at that anymore. I wanted to live a new way of life without hurting people. And I didn't know how to. And I heard the steps, 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 big book. And you know what? Nobody explained it to me like I tried to explain it today. And I know there's many today that know the big book and help many, many, many people with the big book. And I appreciate every single one of you who actually understands the big book. So so I needed help, and I had a few months sober, and you know, and I was doing the steps. I had legends helping me in Alcoholics Anonymous, like Lou Finnemore, and you know, and I did like big high levels of, you know, sobriety and love in Alcoholics Anonymous. But everything was so confusing to me, you know, and I ended up reading the big book. Is what I did. I needed to get on this because this is something I really wanted in my life. You guys mentioned it at all the meetings, and I needed this book. I needed what it said, you know, and I started reading the book and I started doing steps. You name the steps. I don't care where you have done the 12 steps. I don't care if it's NACA, AA, Joe and Charlie. I don't care if it's the 12 steps dummies. I don't know if it's the woman's way. I don't know if it's the guy's way. I don't know what, you know, all of these steps. And I love them all because they get you to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I needed to piece this together. I needed to know exactly what they were talking about, you know, and it ended up saving my life. You know, so I ended up reading the big book. I ended up starting to sponsor people. Nothing will help you more in your life and your sobriety than sponsoring somebody, because then you have to actually read the book, right? So I got 2 months sober, and so they're saying, Ron, how do you do step one? I'm like, okay, just open up the book, read the beginning, and I'll get back to you. Didn't have a clue, right? But so you actually have to stay one step ahead of your sponsee. I found that out right away, right? And that's what I did. And on and on and on. And, you know, I learned a lot about the big book. I learned about the people. I learned about the service. And it changed my life. See, I didn't know what an alcoholic was. I didn't know we had these symptoms, right? You know, this obsession of the mind and this allergy. But something happens, if you don't know, before you even think about alcohol. Something happens. I'm irritable, restless, discontent. And that's that, you know, the spiritual malady, you know. And Dr. Silkworth talks about it. And they mention it a little further in the big book. And I didn't know that I had a warning before I even think about drinking. You know, even before I even think about it. It's that irritable, restless discontent, right? And then I'm easy or uneasy. I don't care if I'm too happy. I don't care if I'm too sad. I'm not spiritually grounded, period. You know, Jolene even brought it up. If, you know, so if I am spiritually grounded, here's a good question. If I am spiritually grounded, am I going to drink today? Chances are you probably will still, because you need to do the rest of the work. Because what happens is I'm spiritually grounded, and then somebody says no to me. And it's like, oh, God, there goes the serenity. And, you know, right? Right? So we have to remove these blocks. We need to know how to react differently. And I need to know how to react to you differently. See, it doesn't matter if you say no anymore today. It doesn't matter. But I needed to learn what the steps actually meant. So I had to go with the spiritual malady. Okay, I'm irritable, restless, discontent. You know, and now I'm actually onto the second part where it's the obsession of the mind. The only thing I can pretty much think about is I see alcohol, I want alcohol, and I'm going to drink it. You know, if you're thinking about it enough, you're on a thin line if you're even thinking about drinking. You're pretty much on a thin line. Something's wrong with your spiritual condition. Right? So, you know, so there's the thinking. And if I think about it long enough, I'm going to drink. And if I drink, and if I can't stop, and if I can't control it, means I'm an alcoholic. There's the two things that make you an alcoholic. I can't stop, I can't control it. That makes me an alcoholic. And it talks about you need spiritual help at that point. You truly do. So I went through the work and I understood about step one. I understood a lot about step one, about that spiritual malady and what Dr. Silkworth was talking about. And then the more I read step one and the more I read step one, you know, I believe what the big book says. So if you ever see my sheets online or my talks, you know, 99% of it is from the big book. But the more I read step one and the more I read step one, the more it told me that the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. So the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind. The main problem of the alcoholic is his thinking. And I didn't know that. So I had this thinking problem going on. Always thinking. And it wasn't really doing me any good. Believe me, it didn't do me any good. And it didn't at that point. So I needed some help at that point. Right? And the help I needed was not anymore in step one. Step one no longer was servicing me anything because it was just reminding me is that I'm an alcoholic and stuff, but I wanted to go forward from here. So, and what I wanted to go forward was, is I wanted to go forward to steps two and three. And you know, the more they talked about steps two and three, they talk about where God is. I'm not telling you who God is. Who God is up to you is totally up to you. I just love what they say where God is. Our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. I didn't know I had the solution. I have the solution within me, and I had it the whole time. But I wasn't listening because I'm in my head. Right? I didn't know I had the solution. If you would have came up to me and says, here, Ron, here's an iPhone 8 Plus or something, and God's here, would you want it? I would have paid anything for it to talk to God directly. I would, and I still want to talk to God directly. That way I don't have to rely on my sponsor or anybody else or anything. And, you know, I can rely on God. Little did I know that the solution was always within me, and it's in our heart. My heart has always told me the truth. So if you ever want to know what the truth is, listen to your heart and talk to your heart and meditate. And that's where the truth is. So there's your solution. So not only I needed the solution, and I can even give you an example, and I mention it a lot, is, you know, about this solution. Is if a little kid goes up to you, and I use this example, is if a little kid comes up to you and says, hey, I got a cut finger here. Can you help me? Well, our instincts right away is to go straight to the solution. And what our instincts will tell us and what God will tell you is to get a Band-Aid. Maybe kiss it better and get a Band-Aid. You just went to the solution. That's where I want you. That's where I want you. And I know what the big book says is that we can't give somebody a psychic change. I can't give that to you, but I can direct you to it, right? And that's in your heart. And we need that psychic change or that spiritual experience. We need that in the first three steps in order to go to the rest of the work. So now I'm in step two. I forget about step one because I don't even want to be in my head. I want to be in the solution. And not only I want to be in the solution, there's something missing. And there's something missing for a long time with the solution. And that comes in step two, and that's faith. Faith and God are two different things, and I found that out years ago, just before I met Nadine, and I didn't know. I ended up getting, you know, depressed and anxiety, social anxiety, about 3 years ago, and that's what I was missing the most in my life. I believed in God. I was in my heart, but I was missing faith. I was missing faith that no matter what I do today, I'm going to be okay. That's step three. No matter what you do, if your heart tells you that is the right thing to do, you can do it. And you're going to do it with faith. And step three. And I believe that. So then I have this information now, which is fantastic. I got a solution. I have faith. Oh my God. But I told you, really, it's not enough. And it's not enough because what happens is, you know, they talk about resentments are the number one offender. I'll tell you what number two is. I don't know if, no sponsees, but I'll tell you what number two is, okay? Resentment is number one. And I'm going to tell you what number two is because it almost sent Bill Wilson back out drinking, and it's self-pity. Resentment and self-pity almost sent Bill Wilson back out drinking. And, you know, that's kind of scary in a way because, you know, resentment is, oh, I want to kill you and I'm so pissed off at you. But self-pity is, I want to kill me. I'm not worthy enough. I don't deserve this. And it's all lies. Your head will lie to you. And it'll lie to you to a point where you're going to think maybe it's a good idea or maybe it's not a good idea, but I don't care. Right? But it's going to come from your mind. It is not going to come from your heart. Try it, but it won't come from your heart. Don't try the drinking. Just try listening to the heart. So then I had to deal with this work, you know, and we talk about this work, and there's kind of four lists. There's like resentment, and then there's fears, and then there's sex, and there's harms. We need to deal with all this, and why we need to deal with it, I'll even start with resentments right away. is why do we need to actually deal with resentments? And I'm going to tell you specifically why. It has nothing to do with you. And nobody knows that. Only the people who do the work know that resentments have nothing to do with you. It has to do with how I react to you, right? So if Johnny hits me, let's say, I'm going to go, oh, darn. See, it's how I react to that. Do you get me? And I'm reacting from what I think or what I know. And it's probably not going to turn out good because I'm probably going to punch him back. Right? No, but today I probably won't. Today I'm going to phone the police and I'm going to try to do the right thing in life. Because I've learned through this work is that it has nothing to do with you. I can't blame you any longer for anything in my life. I'm responsible for my happiness. I can't blame nobody for nothing anymore. That's what resentments taught me. So then I got to the fears. And the fears, it's kind of iffy in a way because it's even tested me in a lot of ways. And it talks about in the big book is that we're going to have fears that have no resentment in connection with the fears. Right? So I'm going to have these fears and I might be up on a chairlift up in Whistler with my kids. And now I got fear. I got fear of heights. What am I going to do? And that's exactly what happened. And so what I did was, is I threw on a pair of sunglasses. You need some sort of action. And I closed my eyes because I was scared of the heights. I needed the solution, but the fear was overpowering me. So I don't care what the fear really is. It has to be some kind of prayer. And what it talks about is we direct our attention to what he would have us be. And once we direct our attention to what he would have us be, it says, at once we commence, I'll grow fear. So what I did was, as I threw on the glasses, I closed my eyes, I got my kids, oh, come on, dad. And you know what? Now it's okay. And I closed my eyes because the fear was just overpowering. So we need some sort of action with God to remove those fears. Then I had sex. Then the sex, we just have to answer the questions. There's like 9 questions, and we just answer them. But the biggest part about that is we see a pattern within ourselves, and we see it a pattern of how selfish and you know, it's funny because, you know, our main defects, they talk about in the big book, there's 4 of them, but in step 4, they added another one, and that was self-seeking. Why they added that in step 4 is because I want something from you, right? If I'm in a sex relationship, I want a lot from you. Do you get me? Because I'm self-seeking, right? And they have self-seeking in the big book. So that's one thing that they added. It's not one of my main defects of character, but when it comes to sex, it is. So I needed to see, you know, my area of life around that. And, you know, having done a few of them, I got to see exactly where, you know, where I'm wrong and where I need to change. So then I had my harms. This is the list most people don't want to do. And it's your step 8 is actually done in your step 4, because step 8 is said, made a list of all people who were harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So your step 8 list is done in your step 4. This is a list most people don't want to do, because, you know, this is the things like, I really hurt you, I stole from you, I lit your house on fire, I might have killed somebody. Just, I've heard everything over the last 30 years. And I don't care what you've ever done, and the worst thing you have ever done, you can walk through it. And I'm telling you, you can walk through it, and you pretty much can walk through it as a free person. If you have a loving enough sponsor and loving enough advice, you can walk through it free and you can walk through it sober, you know, anything. So we have to tell somebody about all these things, and that's step 5. And then we get to step 6 and 7, and I know we're running out of time, so I'll just make it quick. 6 and 7, it says, we're entirely ready to have our defects of character. You can see it. But it's our defects of character, and we're ready to have these defects of characters removed. We're entirely, to have these defects of characters removed. What happens in step 6 is you should know exactly what your defects are and specifically what they are. So when I help people through the steps, they know exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It could be hating people. It could be judging people. But they know exactly what their defects are at that time before they get to step 6. And we can't remove our defects without God's help. That's where step 7 comes in. Step 7 is about, I'm acting out on my defects of character and I can't stop. So I keep acting out, I keep acting out on these defects of character. But with God's help and a new action, I can help remove this. So that's what step 7 is about. Step 8, we just go over it, you know, because we already have the list. We get to step 9. I'm pretty easy when it comes to step 9, because all I want is, you know, for myself and for everybody else to walk down that street a free person. So if you're not walking down that street a free person, and you're afraid of somebody or you're afraid of something, you really need to do this work. Do you get me? Because I would love to see people walking down the street in their heart, regardless of who it is and who's been there and the harm that's ever been done to you, or the harm you won't let go of. You know, there's a lot of issues that we have to deal with sober. I believe we can do most of it through the big book. And if we can't, we'll get outside help like it says. So step 10, we do continuous throughout the whole day. I mean, we continue to take personal inventory, and they talk about There's about five things that they talk about, you know, is when they when we have these defects, they crop up, we pray at once, we tell somebody immediately, we make amends quickly, and we resolutely turn our thoughts how I can help others. That's basically step 10, right? You know, it also says at the bottom of page 84 in step 10, it says love and tolerance of others is our code. And it truly is. Like, I have to love you. I might not have to like what you say. I might not have to like what you do. But I need to love you. And you need to love me. And if you don't, you need to do the work. And you know what? If you're not doing the work, you probably don't like this. But if you're doing the work, you'll love me. You will. Right? So it just means a little more step work if you don't love me. So then we get to step 11, and I love step 11. And I tell people, you know, there's two parts of step 11. And there's on the awakening, and then when there's retire at night. And I believe one's way more important than the other. And I'll tell you why. Is I believe the awakening is fantastic. On the awakening, you know, we pause when agitated. I love it. But I love when I retire at night better. Because we have to answer those nine questions. And when we answer those nine questions, we're actually going over the steps. You know, have I hurt you? Do I owe somebody an amends? Should have I said something or done something that was wrong? You know, it's telling me what to do. So that night, I either write it down or I deal with it the next day right away. I have to deal with this. And that's step 11. And step 12, you know, you know, Ashley even touched a lot of it, and so did Jolene and stuff. You know, it's a service, and it's the love and service of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, what are you willing to do today for your sobriety? Like, really, right? You know, and how can I help you? You know, there's a good question is, how can I help you? You know, I always thought when I first came in is loving you is the most important thing in my life, and that's how I can help you. But it's not. It's clearly not today. You know, loving you is important. Believe me, it is. How I do it today is I want to take you through the steps. Because not only it's important for me to love you, it's more important for you to love you. And when you go through this work, you are going to love you. There's no doubt about it. You're going to react with love. You're going to be love. You're going to be the example of love today. And it's because of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, so, you know, that covers just the steps and covers pretty much a lot of it. I'm just grateful today. I wake up grateful. Before my eyes are even awake, I'm in prayer mode and I'm in gratitude mode. I'm in gratitude mode all through the day. You know, I'm in gratitude mode even at nighttime. I'm in gratitude mode all the time. I am, right? You know, an old timer said, you know, you're on a pink cloud, and people who are on a pink cloud. I don't know if you ever heard this BS or whatever. I don't know, but he came up to me, and it was Newton Bill, and he came up to me, and he says, you know, kid, and he's passed away now, Newton Bill. I love him, and he says, you know, kid, you're on a pink cloud, and you can be on a pink cloud for the rest of your life, one day at a time. I loved Newton Bill, right? You know, so I have a lot of gratitude for a lot of the old timers. I have a lot of gratitude for even a lot of people here. You know, I see Eric and Linder and Katie and, you know, so many just loving, amazing people here. I want to also thank Ian, because he got these two beautiful cakes for me today. And, you know, and I appreciate it, Ian. I appreciate each and every one of you, you know, and just before I end, I'll just take another half a minute. If I can ever help you, I will. If your daughter needs help, I'll help her. If your son needs help, I'll help him. You know, I'll help out your dad. I'll help out your mother. I'll help out your grandmother, you know, anyone. And then it brings me to Brianna here is... you know, when I look for people on the streets and stuff, and we did find Brianna, and I talked to her mom and dad even today, you know, it really affects my heart because, you know, there has to be somebody who cares. There has to be that one person that you can call. And, you know, I believe just looking around the room here today, you know, that each and every one of us is that person. So, you know what? Keep loving you. And, you know, Brianna, I love you and your parents. And I love everybody else here. You know, and thank you for the friendships. Thank you for the love. Thank you for being part of my family. You know, and I love you all. Thanks for my sobriety. Yay.